financial institutions from trading new Russian government debt. Maya Lister, QC of Brick Court Chambers, is one of the UK's top legal experts on sanctions law, international sanctions law, actually, and she joins us. Maya, good morning. Thank you for coming on the programme. The UK and the US have both talked tough on sanctions over the past month or so. Was what the UK actually did yesterday, was that tough?
So I think what the UK has done so far is small scale, but Liz Truss announced last night that there is more to come. So what they've done so far, as you say, is sanction three individuals and five of the smaller banks. But she said that later this week she will follow restrictions others have put in place, a trade ban on the territories in Donetsk and Luhansk, and also that the UK will sanction members of the Duma who voted to recognise independence. But she's also very clearly signalled that if there is more aggression, if Putin continues, then there will be restrictions of the kind that we've seen now from the US and others. So restrictions on access to capital markets, export controls, sovereign debt, and possibly further restrictions on the financial and trade sector. So I think the way these are being done is a sort of ratcheting up stage by stage process.
Would that be the biggest threat to Russia, the idea that it couldn't access Western financial markets?
It's so hard to know what is likely to be the biggest pressure point, but I think that is going to be a very significant step, yes. And so far, obviously, the EU's indication that Nord Stream 2 is off, I would have thought is a very significant step. But yes, I think it's the debt access to the sovereign debt and financial sector restrictions that are likely to be the most felt in Russia.
How does the UK sanctions law work? Do UK ministers have very wide powers to go against individuals and individuals' assets? What tools are at their disposal?
They have wide powers and they've been busy enacting legislation to allow them to go wider, of course, where it's justified. So the way it works is that they have powers to sanction individuals. That doesn't mean actually recover or take away their assets, but it does mean that they can't use their assets and travel is normally prohibited too. Mm. And they've widened the categories of people that can come into those restrictions. So previously it was just those connected with incursions into Ukraine. Now it's also those, as it were, close to the Kremlin, those connected with the government or working in key strategic areas of industry. But then there are also wider restrictions. So the UK also has powers beyond these kind of targeted list-based sanctions to impose these wider restrictions. And of course, it's worth remembering that we have had fairly restrictive and complex sanctions, we, the US and the EU and the UK, on Russia since 2014. So what's being done now is really sort of more of what we've already seen.
So if the UK, for example, wanted to go after an individual property, or a high-profile investment in the UK, they do have the ability to do that.
Well, they certainly have the ability to sanction individuals, and that sanction would mean, yes, a freeze on a property. It wouldn't mean literally recovering houses. It's not a sort of asset recovery system. But they also have other tools at their disposal, don't forget. So there are unexplained wealth orders and all sorts of other tools aimed both at sort of financial crime and just explaining significant amount of wealth in the UK, which are sort of hand in hand with sanctions.
This is a slightly broad question, but do sanctions work? What's the experience of the past 20 years in terms of putting pressure on regimes like Iran, which of course is quite, borderline when it comes to international financial markets? Russia is much bigger. In your experience, do they actually work? Do they bring about the desired result?
So, first of all, I'm a humble lawyer rather than a policymaker. So this is just my own sort of observations. I think it very much depends what you mean by work. I think, yes, certainly they can impose harm on an economy or pressure on an economy. And certainly for some of the individuals who are targeted, it obviously depends where they want to trade, where their assets are, where they want to travel. In some cases, they will feel very severe impact of those sanctions. In some cases, they won't care if they're simply not interested in the part of the world that's sanctioning them. I mean, the example of I think what is difficult and the aim at the moment, which is why this is so tricky, is actually to coerce a very powerful, significant leader of a major state to change their behaviour. So that's a big ask, of course, from sanctions. That's the aim here. So it depends what, you know, if you're signalling that you don't approve of behaviour, that seems to be much easier to achieve than actually having a change of policy, particularly from someone like President Putin, who has sort of indicated at the past that he can't be kind of what he would see as can't be bought off in this way. And where, of course, there are other routes to trade. So China, for example.
I suppose this is a final thought. Those who might be sanctioned, if there is a policy of escalation, they now have time, perhaps a week or so, to move their assets around.
Absolutely. And actually, it's been more than that in the sense that these sanctions have been clearly foreshadowed for some time. You know, not names, but it's been no secret that sanctions on those close to President Putin in some form might be sanctioned by different jurisdictions. So absolutely, it's actually quite an unusual situation because normally people wouldn't know in advance that this might happen to them. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if there's been a lot of shifting of assets around and taking pretty swift advice on what to do.
Thank you very much, Maya Lister, QC. Just for-